While many policies focus on the issues of overfishing, pollution, and the impact of climate change, an international team of scientists have recently released a report calling out for urgent action on the impacts from human-induced noise on marine animals. To find out more about this research, we are joined by Professor Christine Erb, the Director of the Centre for Marine Science and Technology at Curtin University. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Marlene.
And we are also joined by Dr. Miles Parsons, a research scientist at the Australian Institute of Marine Science. Good morning.
Good morning, Marlene. Thanks for having me.
Thank you both for joining me. So firstly, how are marine animals impacted by man-made sound?
Christine?
Right. Okay. So, well, first of all, there can be different ways in which sound impacts animals. And it is not just sound from humans, but actually also natural sounds. The ocean is naturally noisy. You can hear ice cracking and you can hear wind blowing over the ocean surface and rain dropping on it. So it's not all man-made noise. Now, the ways in which noise can impact these animals is multifold. So animals use sound to listen to the environment and they communicate underwater with sound. So most people know that dolphins whistle and whales sing, but also fishes actually communicate with sound, and even crustaceans, shrimps, they communicate with sound. And so
fishes and whales, they can actually be quite loud themselves. So there's a number of reasons why, as Christine said, that they communicate, and whether or not that's for foraging or for reproduction or exploring the ocean, and as well as the rivers and the estuaries.
Yeah, so marine animals are very sensitive to sound because they use it themselves for communication and for sensing the environment. And so if we add sound into the ocean, that can interfere. Now, with this acoustic sensing, it can mask the sounds of the environment. It can interfere with communication amongst animals. That's probably the most far-reaching and common way in which sound interferes with animal lives in the ocean. But of course, there can also be really extreme events where you can actually see tissue damage. So there could be a temporary or permanent loss of hearing in some animals if they are exposed to very loud sounds at very close range.
Both Ames and Curtin have been working collaboratively on a number of projects that look at some of those impacts that happen both physiologically and behaviorally. Particularly together on fish coming from impulsive loud noises like seismic surveys.
So when we're comparing about the impact that these noises have on marine life, the COVID-19 pandemic kind of gave this unique opportunity to compare how marine life goes in a quieter ocean. Did you see a difference, Miles?
So there's been a number of reports that are coming out. We haven't actually seen a difference. We've had some loggers that are out on the Great Barrier Reef, but they haven't come back in yet. So we don't have any data at the moment. But there are lots of reports that are coming out, ranging from up in Canada or even down in New Zealand, where as anthropogenic noise has been quite quiet, particularly with shipping being closed in certain areas for that period. Lots of other biological noises have been appearing. So whales, dolphins have all started to become, or they've been detected more prevalently in those areas.
And with this research, this report that you both, along with international researchers, have brought out, what action do you both hope for? Do you hope for any policies to be implemented to reduce the impact of human-generated noise?
Right. So, I mean, first of all, we need to get the message out there. So literally when we go to schools and talk to children at a younger age and talk about underwater sound, there's just no awareness, and it goes through the ages. So not just in children. People are not aware that the ocean is noisy and that animals underwater rely on sound and that sounds made by humans can interfere. So the first step for us is really to get the message out. Here is another form of pollution question, and we should look into this and care about it. So then the next step is, of course, we need to really understand the process, how noise impacts these animals. And I mean, when you brought up COVID, I mean, these are short-term changes. We really need to know what are the long-term effects of noise and the long-term benefits of quieter oceans. So those require quite large longitudinal studies, and we start to have the data. You know, in some places we have recordings covering 20 years. And then once that is all better understood, we can come with improved policies, but also engineering solutions to make noise sources quieter, to quieten ships. There's an incentive within the shipping industry to actually make ships quieter, because any sound is a loss in energy, which you would otherwise use for propulsion, to sort of say it bluntly. So it's a matter of, you know, collaborating across stakeholders in the ocean and finding solutions to make it quieter and to come up with policies which would guide the various users of the ocean to be more acoustically sensible.
And that's not to say there are no policies in place at the moment or no regulations. It's more about coming in with a more cohesive and particularly global policy that will work towards having a healthier ocean as a result of healthier soundscapes.
Thank you both for taking the time to join me this morning.
Thank you, Marlene.
Thank you.